Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you would like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Lines are wide open as we speak. The Word of God, you know, reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on promise number 4 of the New Covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, 12. I love this particular promise. I think it's the one that really resonates with people. Why? Because it addresses a felt need that we all have. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are guilty as charged. We stand before God deserving of punishment. But here in this new covenant, God says this, "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." Now that's good news, isn't it?
That's good news.
In this new covenant, God has forgiven our sins. He has forgiven our wickedness. He has cleansed us of all unrighteousness. And then he says, "I will never again remember these sins." That's just mind-boggling to think about it, that God isn't going to remember your sins. It's not that he's forgotten. It's not that he's erased his memory. It's just that he's choosing not to ever bring them up again. They are no longer the center of attention. For the longest time, they were front and center. They stood right there between us and God. But then in Christ, he removed them once and for all, took them away. That's what we read in Hebrews 10, that Jesus, unlike the blood of bulls and goats, Jesus took away our sins. And when he had offered himself, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Punishment had been meted out. It had been meted out in full. There was nothing left to do for sin. God had taken care of it. And so in this new covenant, we can stand confidently before God, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that God remembers them no more. If that doesn't sound like good news, I don't know what good news is.
Absolutely. If that doesn't ring your bell, your clapper's busted.
That's exactly right.
Well, we welcome you to Basic Gospel, everybody. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you. We want you to join the conversation. If you'd like to join this particular part of it, or if you have something else you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question that you'd like to pose, why, that's why we're here live on a Friday afternoon to address those questions and take you into the Word of God. Again, 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, and we await your calls. Bob had a question from our friend Kelly. She says, how does a believer's prayer have the power to change things when God, the creator of the universe and all that there is, doesn't require human intervention? It's clear that prayer is meant to change us, but how and why does our intervention or interaction make a difference in the seen and the unseen realms?
Well, prayer is simply communication with God. It's a conversation that we have with God. It's in response to what we hear from God through the Word of God. Oftentimes, we just throw up stuff, and it's just opinions, it's just desires, it's just thoughts, and then we get into the Word of God, and we hear what God has to say, and that reshapes our thinking as far as what we want to say back to Him. So prayer should be in response to what we're hearing from God. And so if we're hearing things from God through the Word of God, then our prayers are going to be aligned with His will. And that's when things change. That's when our hearts change. That's when we can see how God is intervening in certain circumstances, how He is offering up His wisdom. And that's when those particular things start to change. So we need to realize that we don't pray and then God responds. It's our prayer is actually a response to what God is telling us through the Word of God.
Right.
And sharing with us through the Spirit of God. So it's always God takes the initiative, we respond. Mm-hmm. When we respond in prayer, that means we're getting on board with what God is doing. And when we're getting on board with what God is doing, we're going to see some pretty cool things happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Change comes to our own lives.
That's exactly right. We think, hey, that's my prayer changed that. No, God changed our prayers to be in line with what he was all
changed
about.
Changed our waters.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available. Let's give us a call. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Yeah, we're talking about forgiveness of sins. We're talking about this fourth promise in the new covenant. I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. This is good news. If you're struggling with forgiveness, if you're struggling with guilt, this is a perfect day to pick up that phone, call in, and ask that question. God has done the work in Jesus. The blood has been shed. Forgiveness is yours. It's just a matter of understanding what that means and how to live in that forgiveness on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377. We're going to go to the Bronx and talk with Samuel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Samuel.
Yeah, God bless you guys. And it's amazing. What a confirmation that the Lord has given me today concerning guilt, because guilt is a problem that, of course, sinners go through, and they do all kinds of things to try to eradicate it through drugs and alcohol and whatever behavior, you know. Even a lot of, you know, they become workaholics just to try to deal with their conscience. But even Christians go through that. And sometimes, because we don't understand that God forgets our sins. He just puts it into the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't remember them. He doesn't account our sins against us, because Jesus Christ took upon himself that account, and he paid the full price. And you guys are doing a great work, and I hope that Christians who are listening get a hold of this, because I know that I had to learn on my own, through the Holy Spirit, how to deal with my own conscience and bringing the regrets of the past and what I've done in the past, and how the Lord delivered me through the blood and washed away all my sins. And I constantly, when the enemy comes with accusations and condemnation, I have to remember that the Lord is, even though at times he corrects and convicts me, but that's done out of love, and he disciplines me just to mold me into his character. So I hope that Christians catch on to this, because it's very important, because guilt is something that the enemy will always use to try to drive us down to the past. And we need to forget the past. We need to look forward to the coming of the Lord and becoming glorified in him.
That's exactly right.
In this life.
That's exactly right, Samuel. And that's why this forgiveness issue is so vitally important. There is a great passage in 1 John chapter 4. And I think it's a passage we should all pay a lot of attention to. It says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. And then he says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If we believe that there is more punishment due to us for our sins, we will never draw near to God. We will never fully receive his love. We will always view him through that lens of guilt. And so we need to recognize what Christ has accomplished, the fact that he has taken away our sins once and for all. His shed blood has cleansed our guilty consciences so that we can be drawn unto him. If we will recognize that, we will grow in grace, grow in our knowledge of Christ. If we don't recognize that, we're going to struggle throughout our Christian experience. That's just all there is to it. Fear is going to be the motivation for everything we do unless we let the love of God that was demonstrated for us in Christ Jesus through his shed blood cast that fear aside.
Praise God. God bless you guys.
Well,
Thank you, Samuel. So great to hear from you. Well, let's go to Staten Island and talk with Vincent listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing great. I got a two-part question. First question, I'm reading the book you guys sent me, God's Favorite Place on Earth, and I'm a little bit confused on the point of view. It seems like there's like two point of views, one coming from the author and the one coming from Lazarus. Can you clear that up for me?
Well, Frank wrote that from Lazarus's point of view. Just to add some intrigue to the story and really draw us into what was happening. But the point of the book is this, that Jesus felt at home in a little town called Bethany. That's where he was welcomed. That's where he was comfortable. And what Bethany really is a metaphor for is our very lives. Jesus wants to feel at home in us.
Right.
That's where he's come to take up residence, in your heart and in my heart. So each and every one of us can be a Bethany to Jesus Christ. We can be the place where he feels at home, where he feels comfortable. And I just really direct you to a passage in Ephesians. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. Ephesians chapter 3. It's actually a prayer that Paul prays, but it goes like this, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that word dwell is not simply the fact that he's rented a room in our hearts. It's a word that means to be at home, to be comfortable there, that we're comfortable with him and he's comfortable with us. And that's what Frank's book is all about. That's the point he's trying to make and to drive home, that we ourselves, individually and as a body of believers, can be a Bethany for Jesus Christ today.
Because on page 115, it says, over the years, I've watched Christians take offense with the Lord. Some of them passionately follow Jesus in their youth, only to renounce him later. Why? They took offense because they chose to be offended. Now, to me, the word renounce means to give up. And then it says that people renounce the Lord when they follow them at a younger age. So, is that meaning that, because I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but that kind of sounds like people gave up their salvation.
Well, I don't know that Frank is saying that. I know Frank, and I know he believes that once you're saved, you're saved. There are a lot of people that, give lip service, to Jesus, to Christianity. You know, this is, quote, an American nation. I mean, a Christian nation. And, you grow up and we fill out applications and it says, what religion are you? And everybody checks Christian. Well, why? Well, they're not Buddhist. They're not Hindu. They're not Jewish. They're, so they just check Christian. So they give lip service. But then when life kind of presses in and trials and tribulations come their way, their true belief system kind of comes to the surface.
Good point.
And they renounce, what they say they believed when life gets difficult. And I think that's what we're seeing is what their true belief system was. So they're not losing salvation. They're just showing their real colors.
Now, I'm from Staten Island, New York, and most of the people out here are Catholic. And sometimes even Catholics call themselves Christians. They say, I'm a Catholic Christian. A Catholic is a Christian. Who are you to say that we aren't Christian? But, that's a common statement that I'm hearing a lot out here.
Well, and that gets back to what the Word of God has to say. You must be born again. Anyone who receives Christ, who believes in his name, is given the right to be called a child of God, born not of human will or passion, but born of God. So we're born into the family of God. We can wear all kinds of denominational labels, but if we're truly born again, our true label is child of God. That's who we are. That's who we are by nature, by birth, through faith in Jesus Christ.
There's so many pastors that believe that you can lose your salvation. Like, how is that so, like, confused in the Word?
Well, Vincent, I don't know. I have a couple of opinions on that, a couple of thoughts on that. One, I don't think we give the gospel its due. We sell it short. We stop at the cross. And so we would say that the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins so that we can have a place in heaven when we die. But that's not the complete story. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he died to take away our sins so that we could be made alive in Christ. So salvation is this new life that we receive through faith in Jesus. We who were once dead in sin are now alive in Christ. And once we're made alive, then Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to take up residence in us. So now we have Christ Jesus in us, our hope of glory. And so he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to complete the work that he began in us. He's promised to enable us to stand when things get tough. Those are promises of God. And so our salvation was first and foremost dependent upon him. It was his work to make us alive, and it's his work to keep us to the end. And that's a promise that he is going to deliver upon. And so if we recognize that, then all we can do is to say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that when you save me completely. But if we just think of it as we've gotten forgiveness, we've gotten this golden ticket that we can hand to the folks at the pearly gates that will grant us entry, then we struggle with trying to live the Christian life through our own human effort. And we have to do something to make us behave. And that's where people say, you know, they get tired of trying, so they just give up and see they've lost their salvation. But I think that's just to me, a shallow understanding of what salvation is.
Okay, great, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome, Vincent. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And Bob, we have a wonderful new resource for our listeners. It's our new study series called The Basic Gospel Journey, or The New Covenant Journey. And we have a copy for you for a gift of any amount to this particular ministry called Basic Gospel. And we'd love for you to get a hold of it. You can do so by going to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right on the homepage. Or you can call during Central Time office hours up to 5 o'clock this afternoon on a Friday, of course, 800-727-2828. Just request your copy of The New Covenant Journey and to make your gift to Basic Gospel any amount. And we would love to have you as a partner in the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Ian listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ian.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. Very nice. Thanks for the program. This question and answer really clears up a lot as I listen to your program every day. If more and more church will have even some of these sessions in the churches, a lot of people will get more clear understanding of the Word of God. My question to you is, I've been reading in John chapter 4, verse 2, where it says Jesus did not baptize anyone. And it just became so intriguing to me as I began to look at it. And just wanted to hear you gentlemen respond. Why? Why did he choose not? Jesus never baptized anyone. And yes, it's baptism is a very important part of the Christian tenets in walking with the Lord. But he himself never conducted baptism, according to John chapter 4, verse 2.
Well, it's a great question, Ian. And I think there's a very simple answer to that question. And it's this, everything that Jesus did, it was because the Father told him to do it. Everything that Jesus said, it was because the Father told him to say it. So Jesus, he was both fully God and fully human, but he put his godhood kind of on the back burner. And he said, while I'm here in flesh, I'm going to live as a man. I'm going to walk in dependence upon my Father, my Heavenly Father. And so that's how he lived. So if Jesus was going to baptize somebody, it would have been because the Father told him to baptize that person. But the Father told him not to baptize. The Father told him to get his disciples to do the water baptism. And so that's why he did that.
Mm-hmm. Do you also believe maybe because Jesus was people would put more emphasis on getting baptized by him, and then next thing you know, a religion started that only you could only be baptized if Jesus did it, where it's a commission for us to do to one another to bring us into the walk with the Lord.
Well, that's some good thoughts on that, but I would rather just leave it to the simplicity of this, that God didn't tell him to baptize.
Okay. Praise God.
I think that makes it a little easier to understand. And that gives us a life lesson, Ian, and it's this. Just as Jesus walked in dependence upon his Father, we are to walk in dependence upon him.
Man.
So we have that little bracelet that came out years ago, What Would Jesus Do? And mm-hmm, so we're mm-hmm. trying to figure out, what would Jesus do in this situation? And what would Jesus do mm-hmm. in that situation? Well, here's the answer. He would always entrust himself to his Father. That's what he did. He walked by faith in his Heavenly Father. So what are we to do? The exact same thing. We are to trust Jesus Christ in the same way that he trusted his Father. So if the Spirit moves in us to do something, guess what? That's what we do.
We should do it.
If the Spirit doesn't move in us to do something, we don't do it.
Amen. Amen. So, all right, thank you very much for the thought, brother.
You're welcome, Ian. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And Bob, as we near the end of this broadcast, let's talk a little bit about the financial need of the ministry.
Well, as you know, Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We rely on prayers and gifts of our listeners, faithful friends, and loyal partners to contribute to this work each and every month. It takes, our monthly budget is about $120,000. That pays for airtime and internet outreach and the production of resources and all the things that this ministry does. And we want you to have a part in that. We want you to have a stake in that. And so we're looking for ministry partners, folks that can stand alongside of us on a monthly basis with a gift of $25, $35, $100 every month so that this work can continue going out. As Ian said, this question and answer format is unique in the radio world, sure. In the media world. It gives folks an opportunity to really ask those important questions and get help from the Word of God. See how this gospel message truly intersects with their lives. And so we're asking folks to come alongside of us and partner with us in this gospel message. It's a wonderful investment, a wonderful ministry. God is doing great things in the lives of people. Come stand with us.
Absolutely. And when you do, if you're able to give a gift today or over the weekend, we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage where you can make that contribution, and you'll receive a copy of our brand new Bible study, The New Covenant Journey, the Bible study series. And we want you to get a copy of that because it'll be terrifically edifying to you. And again, to help stand with us with the financial support of the ministry. We're sure to also take advantage of the website over the weekend and go to stand2014.com, stand2014.com. That's the name of our conference coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. Get the information. Make your plans now. We'd love to see you there. Finding a solid footing in a broken world. That's the Stand 2014 conference. Well, we're out of time for this edition. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.